would you like to see more of, less of from him? I mean, just having come in new season with any new player, what would you like to see?
Yeah, I think with all the guys that we were talking about at that spot, the urgency, the run game, the pass game, so like, you know, the quickness in and out of breaks. So not everybody plays the same spot, Nikki, but I do want to see with he and with all the other guys really finding some really competitive moments, you know, that plays after the catch, the blocks, you know, at the point of attack. Sometimes even in man-to-man during this phase of evaluation, did he beat the person even though the ball didn't go to that spot? So I'm really trying to evaluate them with and without the ball.
I think one of the more telling statements from Dan Quinn about Jahan Dotson, as we've discussed him since the questioning started, he was basically telling you he needs more urgency, he needs more hustle. Nikki Javala asked that question, and she joins us, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. By the way, and we haven't talked about this yet, Jaden Daniels had a pretty good joint practice. Nikki will share what she saw down in South Florida with us here in a moment. But I was curious as to what you thought of that answer. We've all been talking about wide receiver number two, all been talking about Dotson, and I thought your question there actually prompted the most information specific to what the issue has been with Dotson. Did you feel the same way?
Yes, I did. And I've been thinking a lot about this whole storyline, and I kind of go back and forth, but and some of it I fault myself on, because I think as we've been discussing the receivers room and who's, you know, so-called locks to make the team, we've kind of conflated that with sort of the hierarchy or the depth chart within that group, and they're not the same. And I mean, I'm as much guilty of this as anybody, but, you know, I think we should make one thing clear here, is that Jahan Dotson is not at risk of not making the team. That's not what we're saying here. It's more the notion of, is he, you know, your true number two receiver on this team? And even looking back to the last couple of years, I don't know that they had a true number two receiver. You know, he was dealing with injuries. He was, you know, not getting as many touches last year. So was he even the true number two last year? I mean, it's sort of subjective, but I thought going into this season, he was sort of by default the number two, and I feel like a fool for thinking that, because Dan Quinn has said repeatedly he wants competition at every spot. And at this point, Jahan hasn't had sort of the consistently great camp that maybe he needed to really prove himself to a new staff, that every player from the old regime needs to have to prove themselves to a new staff. And Olamide Zaccheaus has had a really good camp. De'Ami Brown has had a really good camp. You know, a lot can change in the final two games of preseason. A lot can change at the start of the regular season. Jahan could still have a breakout season. But I think what Dan Quinn was saying is honest. And I think we all see it, is that there's not a ton of urgency out there, and they want more of it. And the other thing I think we should probably make clear is the team, or Dan Quinn, never declared anybody a number two. They released a depth chart, and that depth chart usually, I mean, this one has like 12 starters on it with the two starting running backs, but usually right, it's with three receivers. So all they declared really was that Jahan was in the top three, you know, it was him, Terry, and Zaccheaus as the listed starters. So anything beyond that, you gotta work for, you gotta earn. And that's where they're at right now. That's my long-winded answer for you, sorry.
No, but I mean, I felt the same way you did. There's no reason to feel foolish about it, because I think, you know, you look at the roster, we could all acknowledge that, hey, with a new coaching staff and a new regime, you know, not just coaching staff, but new front office, I mean, there's probably going to be a lot more change than we even think, and we shouldn't go with some of the assumptions. But I think it was an intuitive assumption that Dotson, with, by the way, a new coordinator and a new quarterback, might be able to thrive if he's healthy. But I think we heard why he isn't right now. I agree with you, Nikki. I don't think he's in danger of making the roster, but He is in danger, I think. This is just a hunch, and I want you to either back it up or refute it. He's in danger of not being a part of the game day rotation. Like, if there were a game on Sunday against Tampa Bay, is it possible that he'd be inactive? I think it's possible.
I'm not willing to go that far just yet. I still think he's a key figure in that room still. I think what he's in danger of losing at this point, and it could change, and in my opinion, get to that point, he's in danger of not being one of the two or three that come out early. And again, starting roles in the NFL have become so, I mean, there's so much gray area because you open with scripts anymore, and it's all determined by the picks. So it's not the first rep. It's taking, you know, the bulk of the reps. Do you take, you know, the second greatest share of reps? That, to me, is a sure number two. Do you have, you know, the second most impact among the receivers behind Terry McLaurin? That, to me, is the number two. And right now, he's not. Right now, he's taking more reps because they really want him to prove himself. I mean, he took the most reps of any skill player on the Commanders in the last preseason of game, and Dan Quinn said it'll probably take as many this game. So they're giving him opportunities to really show what he can do. But, yeah, he's not having those big plays that Diami is having. Now, you could also argue that Diami has had multiple good camps, and it doesn't necessarily translate to the season. Now, he needs to also prove himself with that. But, yeah, Jahan, as a first-round pick, the expectations are higher. They should be.
That's it. Yes.
So
yeah, I mean, that's it. I mean, we wouldn't feel this way if he had been a fourth-round selection or a third-round selection like Diami Brown was.
Right, right. And Jahan had a really promising rookie season. It was derailed by injuries, and then last year the offense as a whole was a mess, but he had his own issues within that with the drops and not really feeling like that sort of focus was there. I never want to insinuate a player is lazy or not putting in the work, and I don't think that's the case at all with Jahan. I think he is a very detailed worker and really cares about the game, but something's been missing in his game the last year and a half, and he's got to rediscover that. Maybe it's a confidence issue. I think you could argue, and this is just me sort of reading the tea leaves and watching from afar, that, you know, a lot of this is mental. He has all the physical tools. He's not a big-bodied receiver, but he is probably the most polished route runner, you could argue, on this team. I think he can get separation easier than a lot of receivers on this team, in this league even. So he is a very skilled player. I think the missing piece right now for him is sort of that mental thing. And it's, you know, maybe it's confidence, maybe it's something else. But, you know, I think it's all there for him to be a good player.
Yeah, I don't want to make this all about Dotson or the receiving group. But there is one more. And I just want to ask you, because, you know, you guys have had a chance to talk to him. How is he handling this?
He says all the right things publicly. You know, I got to think for anybody, let alone a 24-year-old who's been in the spotlight, that it's probably a little bit more trying than he may let on publicly. You know, it's a lot. But he says all the right things. He doesn't show that it's affecting him mentally. So, I mean, I think all these guys realize that it's ultimately about what you do on the field. So,
yeah,
you know, until he gets those numbers.
One last one on receiver. Do you think at any point there was interest in Ayuk?
I think the sense I got is they might have kicked the tires on him in the early going, like during the draft. And this is where I kind of get into the whole debate of, you know, what is really, when somebody says they had interest in him, what is that really? Is that calling to get a number? What is the asking for the price? Or is it, you know, really a back and forth of, hey, we'll give you this, how about this? Like, actual talks. I got a sense it was more on the, let's sort of gauge the price here. Let's see, you know, what they're looking for. Because he is a good receiver. Adam Peters is familiar with him. Why not? But I never got the sense that it went beyond that. And then, of course, there was a report in the recent, you know, influx of Ayuk news that the Commanders removed themselves. That too, I didn't get clarity on what that means, but it doesn't seem like they've been in it to that degree at all.
All right. We are talking to Nikki Javala. Nikki is in South Florida. They play the Dolphins tomorrow night. They had the joint practice with Miami yesterday. So you and everybody seem to be very impressed with what you saw. You wrote, well, the headline, you don't do the headlines. The headline of your story is Commanders offense heats up at a joint practice in South Florida. And you wrote at one point, the offense was prolific. Explain.
Yeah, they did a lot of red zone work. I think anybody who's watched Dan Quinn practice at this point knows that he loves to open with red zone and really focus on red zone and 2 minute and situational. So their first team period was red zone, and they were killing the Dolphins. They had 5 touchdowns in a row, one of which was to Terry against Kendall Fuller of all people in coverage. Jaden Daniels was rolling. He looked comfortable out there, confident. You know, it's making his reads. There was a lot of up-tempo, quick passing. So they looked good. They look like an offense we have not seen in Washington for, at least not since I've been here. It looked really good. It was starkly different from the joint practice in New Jersey.
What did it look like up front?
The O-line was much better up front. I think there's still some issues, obviously. That group is not a finished product. Brandon Coleman did not participate in team drills. Andrew Wiley did some, but they held up much better than they did against the Jets. You know, it didn't feel like Jaden Daniels was always getting killed. Now, there was a lot of quick passes, but I think that was more by design. Jaden Daniels had enough time to get 5 touchdown passes off, so can't have too many complaints there.
I think people hear 5 touchdowns. Was it 5 yeah. touchdown passes in 5 red zone 11-on-11s?
But there was a couple run touchdowns.
Okay.
Yeah. But, yeah, it was – yeah. I mean, they were cruising. The Dolphins came alive in the second half. It was sort of like the tables were turned there. I mean, the Dolphins appeared more like the Commanders did against the Jets where, you know, they really started to come on in the second half of practice.
Right.
But, yeah, the offense looked good. They looked good. I mean, it wasn't perfect, but they looked good. And the fact that you're seeing improvement week over week, I think it's a good sign. I mean, they still haven't finished installing, according to Dan Quinn. They still got 2 more installs when they get back. So
yeah, I heard him say that to you guys the other day. You know, one of the things, too, they didn't have yesterday, and I think he's going to be a factor, like a major factor in what Kingsbury wants to do. Zach Ertz wasn't there. Right. And you mentioned, you know, the offensive line wasn't completely intact. So that is a positive. What about defensively? Tell me about, you know, some of the people that we've been interested in, Forbes, Jamin Davis, and anybody else that, you know, stood out good or bad.
Yeah, much improved all around there, too. The line looked really good. Cleveland Farrell did not participate. I think it was more of a vet day with him. I asked the team for clarity, and they declined to give an answer. But if they had KJ Henry starting with ones, but the group as a whole just look in sync, which, you know, when they play like that, it allows their playmakers to get home more. I mean, so you're seeing Jonathan Allen and Daron Payne blow stuff up. I was about to curse there, and I had to catch myself. Sorry.
It's okay. We can bleep you out on radio.
But, you know, they were creative.
Nikki talks like a sailor every once in a while.
Denton
is definitely on the bleep button here whenever you're on. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
they were creating pressure consistently, which, of course, helps the back end. Emmanuel Forbes, I know he's been – I mean, I've definitely been kind of watching out to see how he does week over week, especially after the Jets practice when he really did not look good. He looked much improved. His technique was good in coverage. He had a PBU and team. He looked good. I don't recall him giving up any sort of big play. Benjamin St. Juice nearly got torched on the play. And I think it was to Tyreek Hill, actually. It was a deep shot to Tyreek Hill, and it was sort of overthrown, and Tyreek couldn't hold on to it. Would have been pretty brutal if he had. But that was really the only one that I noticed that was even close to, like, a big miss. Sanders still continues to look good. That kid is all over the place. I mean, you see him flying to the quarterback. He had a PBU against Tyreek Hill. I mean, he looks good. He looks he knows what he's doing there, and his instincts are incredible. I mean, to me, it's remarkable for a guy that's really played the position for only 2 years.
Right. He was an offensive player before.
I think he will have a yeah, he will have a huge impact on this defense. And I'm still curious if they continue to move him around, you know, because their outside corners are not it leaves some to be desired. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah. What is he doing with Luvu? Is he moving Luvu all around? Is he, you know, lining up in different spots?
He is. He is. You know, you'll see him play some in the line. You'll see him, you know, off ball some. So he, too, is, you know, a guy that stands out mostly for his speed, his get off, his, I mean, frankly, and I tweeted this during the game, and it's still true. I just feel like he's just out there and just wants to cream somebody, which is exactly what Quinn wants in his defense, of course. So, yeah, Luvu and Sanders, I think, could have a huge impact. I think Wagner's just, I mean, he's a first-ball Hall of Famer, of course. Like, he is just so sound, and he knows what's going to happen on every play, even in these sort of unscripted practices. And that, I think, is clearly something they've been missing in the middle of the field, obviously, but it just allows everybody else around them to play faster and freer. And it's just,
you know what?
It's fun to watch.
You're buying in a little bit to what you've been watching.
I almost sound like an optimist. I don't know what's gotten into me. I've gotten soft.
Well, I have been optimistic also. I mean, look, there's been no reason to be optimistic for nearly 7 years. And I'm optimistic in part because I fell in love with Jaden Daniels, you know, going back 2 years ago and certainly last year. And I was excited that they picked him. But I actually think that they have a lot more than maybe people believe they think. I mean, the people that you've talked about pretty much on defense are the two players that we knew were good, but didn't have great years last year. And then all new players. You know, Luvu, Wagner, you haven't even mentioned Chin, Sanra still.
Chin was booked too, yeah.
You know,
I don't say this to detract from my optimism. I am still worried about their corners. I feel like they could get torched repeatedly in any given game, and that's a concern. I am obviously still worried about the O-line. I'm also so worried that Jaden does not have enough skill players around him. He's got talent around him, and I think Ertz can be very good in this offense and have a huge impact. Can Ertz stay healthy, though? That will always be the biggest question mark with him. And outside of Terry, the entire receivers room now is a massive question mark. And running backs, we still don't know how they're going to use those two guys, both key talents. Is Eckler the Eckler of two seasons ago? Is he more like last season? We don't know. I still feel like there's not enough skill talent around Jaden Daniels. But considering where they were last year, the changes they've made are massive, and you can't fix the team overnight. So it is significant progress.
Talking to Nikki Javala from the Washington Post, real quickly on Jamin Davis, do you think he makes the team?
I do.
Yeah, I do.
I do. I mean, again, there's two pieces of games. A lot could change, but I think there are two things there. It's not solely that he's a first-round pick. I don't think this staff really gives a crap about that at this point. Either you're good or you're not. Like, it doesn't matter what the old regime drafted you. The things working for Jamin are they've asked him to change positions, move up to the line, and he's really embraced it. He is working really hard with Kerrigan. He's asking questions. Like, I think he wants this change, and he's really embraced it, and they like that. That means a lot to him. And he's an athletic freak. I mean, even in the NFL where everybody's sort of, you know, next level, to get there, you have to be next level, right? But he's an athletic freak. I think that's what got him a first-round pick, right?
Right.
He is fast. He is powerful. The things he can do, a normal linebacker naturally, without any true training, can do sometimes.
But you think, I mean, if he makes this team, and I agree with you, and he's on the field, he's going to be a 4-3 defensive end, right?
Yeah, I think he's an edge guy. He's better.
Yeah.
But he needs to refine his pass, and that's what they're working on now. Is like, he's been good so far against the run. I think he needs to be more impactful as a pass rusher. And I think they believe that he's got all the physical tools you could ever want, and he's embracing the teaching. The key now is, can he take the teaching and translate it to the field? And we'll see. so far, I think he's shown progress so far. I like what he did against the Jets. I thought he had some big plays there, some plays that show his athleticism and, you know, how he's taken to the teaching. But you still need more. For him to be a truly impactful, you know,
right,
third down type guy on the edge, you need, yeah, to have these big plays.
Yeah, they love the athletic, you know, the raw athletic scores. Yeah. That was a big part of the draft, and that's probably what they love about him. But he's got to develop a move or two so that he can actually get the production to go with the athletic freakiness. Who's going to play tomorrow and for how long?
Yeah, I have a feeling this is going to be the Jeff Driscoll game, primarily. I would imagine that Jaden gets similar to last week. And Jaden Quinn kind of said that. So I would imagine he gets the first series. I mean, I'm of the mind that anything more than that is just you're playing with house money at that point. Like, why risk it? So I think he plays the first series. I think we'll see some of the veterans who did not play against the Jets, like Jonathan Allen, Daron Payne, Wagner, maybe get a series. Again, anything more than that, why risk it? And then after that, it'll be primarily Driscoll, and then Trace McSorley on a limited, because he came in like 36 hours ago. And yes, he has familiarity with Kingsbury's offense, but you know, it's still a lot to jump in. So they'll have some set plays for him, just to kind of, you know, close it out.
I may have been wrong in my interpretation, because I actually talked to somebody who said, yeah, you're probably off on this, but I wanted to get your confirmation. When he answered, he being Quinn, answered a question from Sam the other day about, you know, the plan with Jaden, and then he got into next week is going to be more like kind of a regular season week in terms of, you know, how they'll handle practices. And I took that as interesting. Maybe they're going to treat this final preseason game, because it's still two full weeks before the regular season begins. You know, the four-game schedule, you were 8, 9, 10 days away from the opener. Now you're 14, 15, 16 days away from the opener. And if the starters play their final plays tomorrow night, it's over 3 weeks before they'll be on the field again in a real game. And I thought for a moment that maybe they'll treat next week like a dress rehearsal game where the starters might play for a quarter. But I think I may be wrong about that. What do you think?
I interpret it as the starters won't play at all.
Yeah.
Like, they'll start prepping them for week one and getting them into that rhythm of week one.
It.
So the practice flow.
That's how I
interpret it. I would be honestly surprised if they put Jaden out there in the final preseason game. I haven't been told that explicitly, but again, like you just reading the tea leaves, that was my interpretation.
I read it incorrectly, and then someone called me to say, I think you've got that wrong. I don't think they're going to treat that third preseason game like anything resembling a dress rehearsal game. All right, last one. What is your projection right now on punt returners or punt returner and kickoff returners?
Yeah, good question. Because I feel like they're still, I'll start with the kickoff returner. I feel like they're still experimenting there. They had three guys in rotation last week against the Jets. It was Kazmir, Davion Davis, and who was the other one? Why am I blanking on this?
It was Davis, Kaz Allen, and was it Igben Ogeni? No.
I don't think so. Hold on, I'm bringing up the game book. It was kickoff returns. Oh, Pringle.
Zacchaeus was back on punts.
Yeah.
And then
Pringle.
Oh, Pringle. Yes, Pringle.
Yeah. So Kaz
Davis
Allen
was
and
actually. It was Davis, Kaz Allen, and Pringle. So do you think we'll see those three, or will a new player be introduced into it to see what he can
do? That's what I'm wondering. I don't know. I don't know. They've kept like a steady mix of, I want to say, 5 to 6 guys in practice.
Yeah.
And I kind of wonder if they're going to do, like last week was those three, this week will be a different three. I honestly don't know. I think Zacchaeus will be involved in special teams no matter what, and that's ultimately what, you know, that's part of the appeal with him too, is he's a really strong receiver, and he has help in the returns. I do wonder if they try to get Crowder involved too. because last week it was just Davion Davis and Zacchaeus on punt returns. So do they try to get Crowder in the mix again this week? Do they try to get, I also thought Chris Rodriguez would be sort of that perfect person for kickoff returns, you know, sort of that bigger body guy, can, you know, more elusive, can escape tackles. Might they try to use him? I'm starting to think no at this point. But yeah, I'm curious to see which way they lean, because it's from the outside, you're always like, are they going to focus more on speed? Do they want sort of the bigger body?
Well, give me a guess against Tampa. Punt returner, two kickoff returners. Just give me your best guess right now if you had to wager on it.
I would say punt returner is the keyest, kickoff return. I'm trying to think of what the receiver room will look like, you know?
I think Kaz Allen's got a really good chance to being one of the two kickoff returners, and the reason I say that is they worked him into the offense last week, including running a reverse, which got called back on a penalty. And I'm interested in that. And the guy Wiley, by the way, because I looked this up, you probably knew this.
Yeah.
He returned kickoffs at Arizona.
Yeah,
I thought he was impressive last week.
Yeah, so, because if they keep Kazmir Allen, they have Zacchaeus. If they try to keep six receivers, Terry, Jahan, Zacchaeus, Diami, Luke McCaffrey.
Yeah,
is Kazmir that sixth guy? Is Crowder that sixth guy? Is Bryson Tremaine that sixth guy? Is Martavis Bryant that sixth guy? I mean, these are the questions they have to answer, and special teams will factor in. So might they look at the DB's room for their kickoff returner? And they have tried some guys back there. They've even tried Forbes back there. So, I don't know.
You're the best. You always spend way too much time with me because I keep you way too long. But it's always good stuff. Enjoy the rest of the weekend. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
All right. Thanks. Sounds good.
Nikki Javala, everybody. Mike Yam from the NFL Network. We'll talk some NFL with Mike next.
What would you like to see more or less of from him? I mean, just having come in new season with any new player, what would you like to see?
Yeah, I think with all the guys that we were talking about at that spot, the urgency, the run game, the pass game, so like, you know, the quickness in and out of breaks, so... Not everybody plays the same spot, Nikki, but I do want to see with he and with all the other guys really finding some really competitive moments, you know, that plays after the catch, the blocks, you know, at the point of attack. Sometimes even in man-to-man during this phase of evaluation, did he beat the person even though the ball didn't go to that spot? So I'm really trying to evaluate them with and without the ball.
I think one of the more telling statements from Dan Quinn about Jahan Dotson, as we've discussed him since the questioning started, he was basically telling you he needs more urgency, he needs more hustle. Nikki Javala asked that question, and she joins us, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. By the way, and we haven't talked about this yet, Jaden Daniels had a pretty good joint practice. Nikki will share what she saw down in South Florida with us here in a moment. But I was curious as to what you thought of that answer. We've all been talking about wide receiver number two, all been talking about Dotson, and I thought your question there actually prompted the most information specific to what the issue has been with Dotson. Did you feel the same way?
Yes, I did. I've been thinking a lot about this whole storyline, and I kind of go back and forth, but and some of it I fault myself on, because I think as we've been discussing the receivers room and who's, you know, so-called locks to make the team, we've kind of conflated that with sort of the hierarchy or the depth chart within that group, and they're not the same. I'm as much guilty of this as anybody, but, you know, I think we should make one thing clear here, is that Jahan Dotson is not at risk of not making the team. That's not what we're saying here. It's more the notion of, is he, you know, your true number two receiver on this team? And even looking back to the last couple of years, I don't know that they had a true number two receiver. You know, he was dealing with injuries. He was, you know, not getting as many touches last year. So was he even the shoe number two last year? I mean, it's sort of subjective, but I thought going into this season he was sort of by default the number two, and I feel like a fool for thinking that because Dan Quinn has said repeatedly he wants competition at every spot. And at this point, Jahan hasn't had sort of the, you know, the consistently great camp that maybe he needed to really prove himself to a new staff, that every player from the old regime needs to have to prove themselves to a new staff. And Olamide Zaccheaus has had a really good camp. De'Ami Brown has had a really good camp. You know, a lot can change in the final two games of preseason. A lot can change at the start of the regular season. Jahan could still have a breakout season. But I think what Dan Quinn was saying is honest. And I think we all see it, is that there's not a ton of urgency out there and they want more of it. And the other thing I think we should probably make clear is the team or Dan Quinn never declared anybody a number two. They released a depth chart, and that depth chart usually, I mean, this one has like 12 starters on it with the two starting running backs, but usually right. It's with three receivers. So all they declared really was that Jahan was in the top three, you know, it was him, Terry, and Zaccheaus as the listed starters. So anything beyond that, you gotta work for, you gotta earn. And that's where they're at right now. That's my long-winded answer for you, sorry.
No, but I felt the same way you did. There's no reason to feel foolish about it because I think, you know, you look at the roster, we could all acknowledge that, hey, with a new coaching staff and a new regime, you know, not just coaching staff, but new front office, I mean, there's probably going to be a lot more change than we even think, and we shouldn't go with some of the assumptions. But I think it was an intuitive assumption that Dotson, with, by the way, a new coordinator and a new quarterback, might be able to thrive if he's healthy. But I think we heard why he isn't right now. I agree with you, Nikki. I don't think he's in danger of making the roster, but he is in danger, I think. This is just a hunch, and I want you to either back it up or refute it. He's in danger of not being a part of the game day rotation. Like, if there were a game on Sunday against Tampa Bay, is it possible that he'd be inactive? I think it's possible.
I'm not willing to go that far just yet. I still think he's a key figure in that room still. I think what he's in danger of losing at this point, and it could change, and in my opinion, get to that point, he's in danger of not being one of the two or three that come out early. And again, a starting roles in the NFL have become so... I mean, there's so much gray area because you open with scripts anymore, and it's all determined by the picks. So it's not the first rep. It's taking, you know, the bulk of the reps. Do you take, you know, the second greatest share of reps? That, to me, is a shoe number two. Do you have, you know, the second most impact among the receivers behind Terry McLaurin? That, to me, is a number two. And right now, he's not. Right now, he's taking more reps because they really want him to prove himself. I mean, he took the most reps of any skilled player on the Commanders in the last preseason game, and Dan Quinn said it'll probably take as many this game. So they're giving him opportunities to really show what he can do. But yeah, he's not having those big plays that De'Ami is having. Now, you could also argue that De'Ami has had multiple good camps, and it doesn't necessarily translate to the season. Now, he needs to also prove himself with that. But yeah, Jahan, as a first-round pick, the expectations are higher. They should be.
That's it. Yes.
So
yeah, I mean, that's it. I mean, we wouldn't feel this way if he had been a fourth-round selection or a third-round selection like De'Ami Brown was.
Right. And Jahan had a really promising rookie season. It was derailed by injuries, and then last year the offense as a whole was a mess, but he had his own issues within that with the drops and not really feeling like – that sort of focus was there. I never want to insinuate a player is lazy or not putting in the work, and I don't think that's the case at all with Jahan. I think he is a very detailed worker and really cares about the game, but something's been missing in his game the last year and a half, and he's got to rediscover that. Maybe it's a confidence issue. I think you could argue, and this is just me sort of reading the tea leaves and watching from afar, that, you know, a lot of this is mental. He has all the physical tools. He's not a big-bodied receiver, but he is probably the most polished route runner you could argue, on this team. I think he can get separation easier than a lot of receivers on this team, in this league even. So he is a very skilled player. I think the missing piece right now for him is sort of that mental thing. And it's, you know, maybe it's confidence, maybe it's something else. But, you know, I think it's all there for him to be a good player.
Yeah, I don't want to make this all about Dotson or the receiving group. No. But there is one more. And I just want to ask you, because, you know, you guys have had a chance to talk to him. How is he handling this?
He says all the right things publicly. You know, I got to think for anybody, let alone a 24-year-old who's been in the spotlight, that it's probably a little bit more trying than he may let on publicly. You know, it's a lot. But he says all the right things. He doesn't show that it's affecting him mentally. So, I mean, I think all these guys realize that it's ultimately about what you do on the field. So,
yeah,
you know, until he gets those numbers.
One last one on receiver. Do you think at any point there was interest in Ayuk?
I think the sense I got is they might have kicked the tires on him in the early going, like during the draft. And this is where I kind of get into the whole debate of, you know, what is really, when somebody says they had interest in him, what is that really? Is that calling to get a number? What is the asking for the price? Or is it, you know, really a back and forth of, hey, we'll give you this, how about this? Like, actual talks. I got a sense it was more on the, let's sort of gauge the price here. Let's see, you know, what they're looking for. Because he is a good receiver. Adam Peters is familiar with him. Why not? But I never got the sense that it went beyond that. And then, of course, there was a report in the recent, you know,
Right. Influx
of Ayuk news that the Commanders removed themselves. That too, I didn't get clarity on what that means, but it doesn't seem like they've been in it to that degree at all.
All right. We are talking to Nikki Javala. Nikki is in South Florida. They play the Dolphins tomorrow night. They had the joint practice with Miami yesterday. So you and everybody seem to be very impressed with what you saw. You wrote, the headline, you don't do the headlines. The headline of your story is Commander's offense heats up at a joint practice in South Florida. And you wrote at one point, the offense was prolific. Explain.
Yeah. Yeah. They did a lot of red zone work. I think anybody who's watched Dan Quinn practice at this point knows that he loves to open with red zone and really focus on red zone and 2 minute and situational. So their first team period was red zone, and they were killing the Dolphins. They had 5 touchdowns in a row, one of which was to Terry against Kendall Fuller of all people in coverage. You know, Jaden Daniels was rolling. He looked comfortable out there, confident, you know, he's making his reads. There was a lot of up tempo, quick passing. So they looked good. They look like an offense we have not seen in Washington for, at least not since I've been here. So it looked really good. It was starkly different from the joint practice in New Jersey.
What did it look like up front?
The O-line was much better up front. I think there are still some issues, obviously. That group is not a finished product. Brandon Coleman did not participate in team drills. Andrew Wiley did some. But they held up much better than they did against the Jets. You know, it didn't feel like Jaden Daniels was always getting killed. Now, there was a lot of quick passes, but I think that was more by design. And, you know, Jaden Daniels had enough time to get 5 touchdown passes off, so can't have too many complaints there.
I think people hear 5 touchdowns. Was it 5 touchdown passes in 5 red zone 11-on-11s?
But there was a couple run touchdowns,
okay.
Yeah. But, yeah, it was... Yeah, I mean, they were cruising. The Dolphins came alive in the second half. It was sort of like the tables were turned there. I mean, the Dolphins appeared more like the Commanders did against the Jets, where, you know, they really started to come on in the second half of practice.
Right.
But, yeah, the offense looked good. They looked good. I mean, it wasn't perfect, but they looked good. And the fact that you're seeing improvement week over week, I think it's a good sign. I mean, they still haven't finished installing according to Dan Quinn. They still got two more installs when they get back. So
yeah, I heard him say that to you guys the other day. You know, one of the things, too, they didn't have yesterday, and I think he's going to be a factor, like a major factor in what Kingsbury wants to do. Zach Ertz wasn't there. Right. And you mentioned, you know, the offensive line wasn't completely intact. So that is a positive. What about defensively? Tell me about, you know, some of the people that we've been interested in, Emmanuel Forbes, Jamin Davis, and anybody else that, you know, stood out good or bad.
Yeah, much improved all around there, too. The line looked really good. Cleveland Farrell did not participate. I think it was more of a vet day with him. I asked the team for clarity, and they declined to give an answer. But if they had KJ Henry starting with ones, but the group as a whole just look in sync, which, you know, when they play like that, it allows their playmakers to get home more. I mean, so you're seeing Jonathan Allen and Daron Payne blow stuff up. I was about to curse there, and I had to catch myself. Sorry.
It's okay. We can bleep you out on radio.
But, you know, they were creative.
Mickey talks like a sailor every once in a while.
Denton
is definitely on the bleep button here whenever you're on. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
But, no, they were creating pressure consistently, which, of course, helps the back end. Emmanuel Forbes, I know he's been – I mean, I've definitely been kind of watching out to see how he does week over week, especially after the Jets practice when he really did not look good. He looked much improved. His technique was good in coverage. He had a PBU and team. He looked good. I don't recall him giving up any sort of big play. Benjamin St. Juice nearly got torched on a play. And I think it was to Tyreek Hill, actually. It was a deep shot to Tyreek Hill, and it was sort of overthrown, and Tyreek couldn't hold on to it. Would have been pretty brutal if he had. But that was really the only one that I noticed that was even close to, like, a big miss. Sanders still continues to look good. That kid is all over the place. I mean, you see him flying to the quarterback. He had a PBU against Tyreek Hill. I mean, he looks good. He looks he knows what he's doing there, and his instincts are incredible. I mean, to me, it's remarkable for a guy that's really played the position for only 2 years.
Right. Yeah. He was an offensive player before.
So I think he will have a huge impact on this defense. And I'm still curious if they continue to move him around, you know, because their outside corners are not it leaves some to be desired. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah. And what is he doing with Luvu? Is he moving Luvu all around? Is he, you know, lining up in different spots?
He is. You know, you'll see him play some in the line. You'll see him, you know, off ball some. So he, too, is, you know, a guy that stands out mostly for his speed, his get off, and I tweeted this during the game, and it's still true. I just feel like he's just out there and just wants to cream somebody, which is exactly what Quinn wants in his defense, of course. Luvu and Sanders, I think, could have a huge impact. I think Wagner's just, I mean, he's a first-ball Hall of Famer, of course. Like, he is just so sound, and he knows what's going to happen on every play, even in these sort of unscripted practices. And that, I think, is clearly something they've been missing in the middle of the field, obviously, but it just allows everybody else around them to play faster and freer. And it's just,
you know what?
It's fun to watch.
You're buying in a little bit to what you've been watching.
I almost sound like an optimist. I don't know what's gotten into me. I've gotten soft.
Well, I have been optimistic also. Look, there's been no reason to be optimistic for nearly 7 years. And I'm optimistic in part because I fell in love with Jaden Daniels, you know, going back 2 years ago and certainly last year, and I was excited that they picked him. But I actually think that they have a lot more than maybe people believe they think. I mean, the people that you've talked about pretty much on defense are the two players that we knew were good but didn't have great years last year, and then all new players. You know, Luvu, Wagner, you haven't even mentioned Chin, Sanra still.
Chin was good too, yeah.
You know,
I don't say this to detract from my optimism. I am still worried about their corners. I feel like they could get torched repeatedly in any given game, and that's a concern. I am obviously still worried about the O-line. I'm also so worried that Jaden does not have enough skill players around him. He's got talent around him, and I think Ertz can be very good in this offense and have a huge impact. Can Ertz stay healthy, though? That will always be the biggest question mark with him. And outside of Terry, the entire receivers room now is a massive question mark. And running backs, we still don't know how they're going to use those two guys, both key talents. Is Eckler the Eckler of two seasons ago? Is he more like last season? We don't know. I still feel like there's not enough skill talent around Jaden Daniels. But considering where they were last year, the changes they've made are massive, and you can't fix the team overnight. So it is significant progress.
Talking to Nikki Javala from the Washington Post, real quickly on Jamin Davis, do you think he makes the team?
I do.
Yeah, I do.
I do. I mean, again, there's two pieces of games. A lot could change, but I think there are two things there. It's not solely that he's a first round pick. I don't think this staff really gives a crap about that at this point. Either you're good or you're not. Like, it doesn't matter what the old regime drafted you. The things working for Jamin are they've asked him to change positions, move up to the line, and he's really embraced it. He is working really hard with Kerrigan. He's asking questions. Like, I think he wants this change, and he's really embraced it, and they like that. That means a lot to him. And he's an athletic freak. I mean, even in the NFL where everybody's sort of, you know, next level, to get there, you have to be next level, right? But he's an athletic freak. I think that's what got him a first round pick, right?
Right.
He is fast. He is powerful. The things he can do, a normal linebacker naturally without any true training can do sometimes. And that
but you
is
think, I mean, if he makes this team, and I agree with you, and he's on the field, he's going to be a 4-3 defensive end, right?
I think he's an edge guy. He's better.
Yeah.
But he needs to refine his pass. And that's what they're working on now. Is like, he's been good so far against the run. I think he needs to be more impactful as a pass rusher. And I think they believe that he's got all the physical tools you could ever want. And he's embracing the teaching. The key now is, can he take the teaching and translate it to the field? And we'll see. So far, I think he's shown progress so far. I like what he did against the Jets. I thought he had some big plays there, some plays that show his athleticism and, you know, how he's taken to the teaching. But you still need more. For him to be a truly impactful, you know, third down type guy on the edge, you need to have these big plays.
Yeah, they love the athletic, you know, the raw athletic scores. Yeah. That was a big part of the draft, and that's probably what they love about him. But he's got to develop a move or two so that he can actually get the production to go with the athletic freakiness. Who's going to play tomorrow and for how long?
Yeah, I have a feeling this is going to be the Jeff Driscoll game primarily. I would imagine that Jaden gets similar to last week. And Jaden Quinn kind of said that. So I would imagine he gets the first series. I mean, I'm of the mind that anything more than that is just you're playing with house money at that point. Like, why risk it? So I think he plays the first series. I think we'll see some of the veterans who did not play against the Jets, like Jonathan Allen, Daron Payne, Wagner, maybe get a series. Again, anything more than that, why risk it? And then after that, it'll be primarily Driscoll, and then Trace McSorley on a limited, because he came in like 36 hours ago, and yes, he has familiarity with Kingsbury's offense, but you know, it's still a lot to jump in. So they'll have some set plays for him just to kind of, you know, close it out.
I may have been wrong in my interpretation, because I actually talked to somebody who said, yeah, you're probably off on this, but I wanted to get your confirmation. When he, being Quinn, answered a question from Sam the other day about, you know, the plan with Jaden, and then he got into next week is going to be more like kind of a regular season week in terms of, you know, how they'll handle practices. And I took that as interesting. Maybe they're going to treat this final preseason game, because it's still two full weeks before the regular season begins. You know, the four-game schedule, you were 8, 9, 10 days away from the opener. Now you're 14, 15, 16 days away from the opener. And if the starters play their final plays tomorrow night, it's over 3 weeks before they'll be on the field again in a real game. And I thought for a moment that maybe they'll treat next week like a dress rehearsal game where the starters might play for a quarter. But I think I may be wrong about that. What do you think?
I interpret it as the starters won't play at all.
Yeah.
Like they'll start prepping them for week one and getting them into that rhythm of week one. So the practice flow,
that's how I
interpret it. I would be honestly surprised if they put Jaden out there in the final preseason game. I haven't been told that explicitly, but again, like you just reading the tea leaves, that was my interpretation is
Yeah, I read it incorrectly, and then someone called me to say, I think you've got that wrong. I don't think they're going to treat that third preseason game like anything remotely resembling a dress rehearsal game. All right, last one. What is your projection right now on punt returners or punt returner and kickoff returners?
Yeah, good question. Because I feel like they're still, I'll start with the kickoff returner. I feel like they're still experimenting there. They had three guys in rotation last week against the Jets. It was Kazmir, Davion Davis, and who was the other one? Why am I blanking on this?
It was Davis, Kaz Allen, and was it Igben Ogeni? No.
I don't think so. Hold on. I'm bringing up the game book. It was kickoff returns. Oh, Pringle.
Zacchaeus was back on punts.
Yeah.
And then
Pringle.
Oh, Pringle. Yes, Pringle.
Yeah. So Kaz
Davis
Allen
was
and
actually. It was Davis, Kaz Allen, and Pringle. So do you think we'll see those three, or will a new player be introduced into it to see what he can
do? That's what I'm wondering. I don't know. I don't know. Because they've kept like a steady mix of, I want to say, 5 to 6 guys in practice.
Yeah.
And I kind of wonder if they're going to do, like last week was those three, this week will be a different three. I honestly don't know. I think Zacchaeus will be involved in special teams no matter what, and that's ultimately what, you know, that's part of the appeal with him too, is he's a really strong receiver, and he has help in the returns. I do wonder if they try to get Crowder involved too. Because last week it was just Davion Davis and Zacchaeus on punt returns. So do they try to get Crowder in the mix again this week? I also thought Chris Rodriguez would be sort of that perfect person for kickoff returns, you know, sort of that bigger body guy, can, you know, more elusive, can escape tackles. Might they try to use him? I'm starting to think no at this point. I'm curious to see which way they lean, because it's from the outside, you're always like, are they going to focus more on speed? Do they want sort of the bigger body?
Well, give me a guess against Tampa. Punt returner, two kickoff returners. Just give me your best guess right now if you had to wager on it.
I would say punt returner is the keyest kickoff return. I'm trying to think of what the receiver room will look like, you know?
I think Kaz Allen's got a really good chance to being one of the two kickoff returners, and the reason I say that is they worked him into the offense last week, including running a reverse, which got called back on a penalty. And I'm interested in that. And the guy Wiley, by the way, because I looked this up, you probably knew this.
Yeah.
He returned kickoffs at Arizona.
Yeah,
I thought he was impressive last week.
Yeah,
so,
Because if they keep Kazmir Allen, they have Zacchaeus. If they try to keep six receivers, Terry, Jahan, Zacchaeus, Diami, Luke McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Is Kazmir that sixth guy? Is Crowder that sixth guy? Is Bryson Tremaine that sixth guy? Is Martavis Bryant that sixth guy? I mean, these are the questions they have to answer, and special teams will factor in. So might they look at the DB's room for their kickoff returner? And they have tried some guys back there. They've even tried Forbes back there. So, I don't know.
You're the best. You always spend way too much time with me because I keep you way too long. But it's always good stuff. Enjoy the rest of the weekend. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
All right. Thanks. Sounds good.
Nikki Javala, everybody. Mike Yam from the NFL Network. We'll talk some NFL with Mike next.